Let me begin. The title for this presentation, Leadership Through Continuous Innovation, there's never been a more important time for innovation in our industry. There's a lot of change, there's a lot of pressures, our customers are demanding more and more, so innovation has always been important, but it's ever more important today. So my presentation will focus a bit on that. Before I get started, as I normally do, I'd like to remind you that during the presentation we will be making forward-looking statements. Actual results may differ materially from those indicated in the forward-looking statements, and I encourage you to refer to our 2014 annual report on Form 10-K and our subsequent filings with the SEC. Any such forward-looking statements speak only as of today, March 20th, 2015. So a couple of different categories. I'll briefly talk about the financial results. You've seen the financial results, so I'll just make some summary comments and then talk a little bit about the strategy with a focus on innovation. Financially, 2014, a pretty good year for State Street. You can see in the blue bubble our financial results. EPS up 12% during the year, return on equity just under 11%. Fee revenue, which is the core driver of our top line, both service fees and management fees, up 7%, which was a pretty good year. Underpinning that, $1.1 trillion in new assets that we committed, as well as $28 billion in net new assets managed from SSGA. We continue to do, I think, a good job in managing expenses. We created operating leverage in 2014 in spite of what's a pretty significant headwind resulting from regulatory compliance costs. And our operating margin, just over 30%, is industry-leading. If I just quickly, a few weeks ago, we had first-quarter earnings. This is a summary of first-quarter earnings. The theme, more or less, continues. Revenue growth, managing expenses effectively, and in addition, returning capital to shareholders. So you can see the results here. Again, fee revenue up 7%. Great strength in foreign exchange. So you've seen in the marketplace high volatility in currencies, diverging monetary policy. That's been very good for our foreign exchange business, which in the first quarter versus prior year first quarter was up over 50%. That drove some of this result. Again, good job containing expenses, and as a result created good earnings per share, up 18.2% over prior prior year first quarter. We continue to return capital to shareholders. We bought back $470 million worth of State Street stock in the first quarter, and importantly, the Federal Reserve goes through a process every year of evaluating a bank's capital adequacy and risk management practices, and for the fifth year in a row, State Street did well on that test. And as a result, the Federal Reserve did not object to a $1.8 billion planned share repurchase through the course of the next five quarters. So let's get past the numbers for a minute. So who's State Street today? A business that is specialized, focused on the institutional market, a business with $10 billion in revenues, with 40% of those revenues occurring outside of the U.S., a business that has an extensive global footprint, some 30 locations across the globe, across the Americas, Europe, Middle East, South Africa, Asia Pacific. It's a business that's very focused in two broad categories, servicing assets, managing assets, in both cases a leader. Service $28 trillion in assets across the vast majority of back office, middle office, front office, and $2.5 trillion and assets under management, which began with really cash and passive, but now very sophisticated quantitative and active strategies leading to solutions. Global business, very focused, but with scale and size. The keys to our success, in my view, has been focus on customers and our ability to spot trends before our competitors. And I think that's been the story. I'm going to share with you some of what's unfolding as we run our business today. So this next chart is somewhat busy, but just to describe it, it's a little bit of a trend of innovation at State Street. And I split it above the line, horizontal line, are products that we've introduced or capabilities that we've introduced to our customers. Below the line are acquisitions that we made as a vehicle for entering a market or getting front of a growth trajectory. Let me just pick out a few of these. On the far left, you see in 1973, we set up a shareholder services joint venture with a company in Kansas City called DST. It was the fuel that allowed us to be the leading provider of services to the U.S. mutual fund industry. More recently, the booming offshore fund industry in Europe is one of our key points of differentiation is our shareholder record-keeping services. Our competitors don't have anything that's even close to it. ETFs, we're an innovator we created the first ETF some 21 years ago. SSJ is a leading sponsor of ETFs, but we also service over 55% of the ETF industry. Notably, the ETF industry, only 21 years old, crested $3 trillion in assets under management last year and has a very high growth trajectory. Again, an example of a trend that we were in front of both as a sponsor and also as a service provider. The alternatives market, private equity, real estate, and hedge funds is another market that recently crested $3 trillion, a big market that's growing rapidly. We used a small acquisition back in the early 2000s to begin our journey, and today we're the leading service provider to the alternatives market. Several examples of, I think, the nature of the focused business model, the client centricity has allowed us to see trends before others and get in and provide either servicing or asset management opportunities. When we at State Street talk about strategy, I think any one of the 30,000 employees would have this vision in their mind. We conveniently call this the Strategy House. And it's a way to not only explain our strategy, but to create alignment with the 30,000 employees. So the Strategy House at its peak shows where we're heading, which is driving long-term shareholder value, and that's depicted in terms of a revenue growth, an EPS growth, and a return on equity aspiration, a goal, I should say. And then the different columns, which I'm going to walk you through in a couple of subsequent slides. But building on our strong core, we have a great business. And so building on it, maintaining it, and advancing it, achieving a digital enterprise, the digital revolution that's going on is absolutely phenomenal. And we need to play a part in that, not only in transforming our own service offering, but in enabling new products and services. Investing. This is a business that requires ongoing investment. I think we're better and better at picking those investments that have the greatest opportunity for long-term shareholder value, and then optimizing capital, which I'll come on to. Nuanced, but I just want to bring up, on the lower right of that slide, you see risk excellence. That's highlighted in yellow because I showed you this slide last year and that wasn't on this. And so we have, as an organization, throughout 14, embraced risk excellence as a theme that we think is going to be as important as anything else on this slide here. And I'm sure each and every one of us sees almost daily financial service firms being dragged through the press for wrongdoing or accusations. And so the financial services industry has a reputational problem. I'd say a big reputational problem. And so State Street, I don't think State Street has a reputational problem, but we've determined that not just risk management, but risk excellence. We're going to be that firm that rises above pure risk management, ethical behavior, a leader in control, so that we're the firm that the industry looks to, both regulators, customers, employees, to say, when we talk about risk excellence, that's what we're talking about. So that'll be a theme that will be prevalent in all the things we do from a strategy standpoint going forward. Let me cover the columns quickly. Building on our strong core, as I mentioned, we are fortunate, and I would say the setting of the strategy came long before anybody in this room, but this business, this company, is positioned against some phenomenal long-term growth trends, growth in asset pools, globalization, retirement. And so throughout what's been a difficult period for financials, our core fee growth has grown at a compound annual growth rate of 9%, which is pretty impressive. And I think it's the result of good customer relationships, our ability to expand those relationships, attract new customers, particularly vis-a-vis our competitors. Our win-loss rate is quite attractive. And also the continuation of new products. you need to continue to refresh. And you see on the bottom right, you just see some of the many new products that we continue to introduce to help our customers solve problems, which allow us to grow our revenue stream. 80% of our new growth every year comes from our existing customers. So we're connected to the right relationships. We're watching where the new opportunities are, helping them solve their problem. And it's resulted in, looking back, with a 9% compound annual growth rate. Achieving a digital enterprise is the second column in the strategy. Last year we wrapped up a five-year IT and ops transformation. I spoke to you about this last year, which was really designed to automate internal processes, to create centers of excellence, to leverage labor markets. We put in place a private cloud, which is a very advanced technology infrastructure, and increase the service delivery quality to our customers. Along that journey, our eyes have been opened up to the power of technology and process improvement. So the digital enterprise is really that next stage in the journey to make sure that we continue to automate, to digitize, and create straight-through processes throughout our organization, which will have three discrete benefits. One, it'll improve service levels, no doubt, to our customers. It will reduce our cost, which is something that in a constrained environment continues to be important. And most subtly, it will allow us to have better control over our customers' data in order to produce the next set of information-based services, which will be, I would guess, in 5 or 10 years, what this discussion will be all about. Investing in opportunities for growth. There's a long list. I gave you the list of innovations, but we continue to invest. So one of the best things we can do with shareholders' capital, this business throws off a lot of cash, is to reinvest it in the business where we think we can create good long-term value and growth for our customers and for our shareholders. Let me just give you a few examples. I mentioned alternatives and ETFs, $2-3 trillion asset pools. Most of that asset growth has been in North America with a little bit in Europe, clearly going through Europe and on to Asia. So part of our investment is to globalize those platforms, globalize those services, both in the alternatives and the ETFs. We also recently, on the back of the private cloud, rebuilt our ETF servicing platform. That's the platform that I mentioned that services over 55% of the global ETF market. Important that we continue to invest to maintain that edge. Global exchange is a new business that we introduced, which is really the term that's used way too commonly is the big data term. With 28 trillion of assets that we service on behalf of our customers, we have a lot of data. And the more that we can organize that data and make it available real time for our customers, the more valuable our services will be, whether it's to manage risk, to introduce new investment products, or to manage compliance activities. And so the global exchange business is focused, I've given you a few examples, investable models, risk management platforms, is focused at that new dimension of the front office, which State Street's gone from the back to the middle, now heading to the front office. Global advisors, I mentioned a very successful business. We think there's an opportunity to disproportionately invest in global advisors for good return. And those investments, ETFs, obviously, a major ETF provider. But also ETFs get sold through intermediaries, so we've doubled our distribution workforce, our distribution sales force, I should say, in SSJ. So we're continuing to refine those opportunities which we think solve customer problems and provide long-term shareholder upside. And finally, optimizing capital. I think the best place to deploy capital is to invest it back into the business, some of the things that I mentioned, which will have that long-term return that you as shareholders, I think, are looking for from us. But there's also tremendous change going on in the regulatory environment and the capital environment. So we're working hard to optimize whether it's our balance sheet, our business mix, to make sure that we can continue to create an appropriate return on that capital over time. And so optimizing capital is largely around that, very important. The other point I would make is that while you saw acquisitions as a key part of our strategy in the 2000-2010 timeframe, less likely going forward. More likely that excess capital as opposed to deploying it in acquisitions, we'll continue to return it to shareholders, which has been the pattern over the past couple of years. Last point on the strategy, and I could go on this one, but the community continues to be a focal point for us. I think as I look around the room, many of us reside in Boston, and State Street is silently but effectively a huge part of building and investing in this community. We have a foundation that's focused on education and workforce development. Last year, we committed $19 million to efforts that largely focused on, you know, in the inner cities of Boston and other places where we operate, how do we continue to advance education, workforce readiness? We're doing some very creative things there, very effective things there. As importantly to me, and maybe more impressively, is our employees committed 106,000 hours last year of community-based work and things that are passionate to them and things that are important to State Street. So we not only lead with our financial resources, but we lead with our human resources. The colorful part of this slide really speaks to a subject that we've spoken to at several annual meetings in the past, and that is diversity. The world is becoming more and more diverse. The communities that we operate in are becoming more and more diverse. And to be a leading company, you know, we need to have a diverse population. And we focus very hard on this, diversity from all perspectives, people of color, gender, and we're moving the needle. The needle never moves as quickly as you'd like it to move, but one of the ways that we look from the outside in as an attractive place for diverse talent is how people perceive us. And I'm very proud of the various awards and recognitions that we've received for being a place that's inclusive to people of all types, kinds. And so that'll go hand in hand with our ability to move the diversity needle here at State Street. Let me just wrap up and then see if anybody has any questions. You know, we're recognized across the industry and the globe as an organization that's established key leadership positions in many growth markets, which should proffer well for our forward-looking growth prospects. I think if you were to boil it down and say, what's the secret sauce at State Street? It's the focus strategy. You know, we do a few things. Customer centricity. It's deeply embedded in the DNA of everybody here at State Street. It's taking care of the customer. Customer always comes first. Ability to spot those future trends and relentless execution. I would put us up against anybody as far as execution once we've spotted our target. And the result of that, which will be important to all of you, is that I think we've delivered good shareholder value. So I've given you a five-year cycle here, and this is a total shareholder return. Compared against, you know, I think the most relevant benchmarks, which would be the S&P Financials Index, and you can see that's the red line, as well as our closest competitors, Bank of New York and Northern Trust. And you see over a five-year period, I'd say in absolute terms, good total shareholder return, but also in comparative and competitive terms, total shareholder return. So I want to thank you for your attention. Thanks for coming today. And I would now be more than willing to entertain any questions that you have.